Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
Around the road, we're going home to the place where wild nerds roam with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a pack of buddies in a star-filled sky where you can be all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Comics talk for comics fans.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Long Box Guys. And a cat named, what's that cat's name, Mike?
Buffy.
And a cat named Buffy. And a guy named Alex. Fun Alex fact, today we have a special guest again, Alex from our dodgeball team, Cat 5. Alex, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing just fine, and I'm trying to finish off that watermelon lemon shandy because Mike was right. It's not that good.
Don't forget, watermelon shandy, it's not that good. Brought to you by Stereotypes. Stereotypes. Because, hey, stupid people need something to believe in, too. Tom, how are you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing okay, and I am drinking some Dewar's 12-year-old. It's not my favorite scotch, but it comes in a little bottle, and I'm not moving this little bottle.
Good man. Josh, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing good. I'm drinking a American pale ale called Tornado.
Tornado. Too soon, right. Josh. Too what? Soon, man. Too
not
soon.
Too soon. I want to put tiny little, like, floating sharks in it. Does that help?
Oh, gummy sharks in a beer. Call it a Sharknado.
The Sharknado.
Oh, we have to do that one. And Mike, dear sweet Mike, Mike of my heart. Well, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I am doing excellent, and I'm drinking a banana bread beer from Wells.
Best breakfast beer out there.
And I, of course, just got my 10-day chip. I found out I had a problem, and I decided to address it. No, I'm just screwing around. You know who really did have a problem, though? Tony Stark.
Yeah, alcohol's funny, isn't it? Is that what you're trying
alcoholism
to say?
Alcoholism is hilarious. Actually, alcohol isn't funny at all, and if you need help, please do get it. But today we're going to be talking about some of Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man's greatest foes. Alcoholism, of course, one of them, probably going to be addressed by one of the guys tonight. Let's just start it right off with our good friend, LT. LT, who do you think is the number one foe of Tony Stark?
Oh, he has so many good foes. But as you said, alcoholism, I think, is probably his biggest foe.
Drink.
Because it is the one.
Wait, that's wrong. This is wrong. We should not be drinking
to his alcoholism. It's right.
Drink to his alcoholism.
No, so for those of you who are first-time listeners, we drink when somebody picks one of our choices, and we drink a lot for other reasons too. If we
there's a lot more.
If we highly recommend something, every time I say the word "so," and every time LT says the
So LT, please do wax loquacious for a second because I have to get another beer.
As I was saying, alcoholism is probably Tony Stark's greatest foe because he constantly is in battle with dealing with alcoholism, so much so that they had a whole storyline called Demon in a Bottle where he fought alcoholism. He lost control of his company to another of his greatest foes, Obadiah Stane, also known as Ironmonger. Anybody have Ironmonger?
Drink.
Yes.
This is going to be one of the I should have got more
drink.
Beer.
So that's why I think that alcoholism is probably his greatest foe. And it was in the 80s and in the late 70s. One of his recurring themes was his battle with alcoholism. At first, he didn't treat it as a problem, as most alcoholics do. He was in denial. And then it came into the forefront of the comic book storyline that it really was a problem, so much so that he lost everything. and he had to slowly kind of make the realization and deal with the problem before he could start rebuilding his life. And it was a real comeback story, a redemption story about how he kind of overcame alcoholism and was able to pull remnants of his life back together. And it's part of Tony Stark's hero's journey, battling alcoholism.
Fun Alex fact about why the writers decided to give him alcoholism, because for years they had been giving him heart problems and they were tired of giving him heart attacks. So they said, as they were having drinks one night, as Bob Layton related to me, they said, why don't we make him an alcoholic? They toasted to their brilliant idea. Let's drink to Bob Layton.
To Bob Layton. To Bob Layton.
Can anybody, trivia contest, can anybody name another superhero who is an alcoholic?
Hmm. All right, that's a good one. Constantine.
No.
He's just a drunk?
Yeah, he's a drunk for the most part, but he's not an alcoholic. I mean, he just drinks a lot. It's called being Irish.
Is Scott Lang an alcoholic? I feel like he would be.
I don't think Scott Lang is an alcoholic, but Carol
Danvers. If anyone had a reason to be.
Carol Danvers, Ms. Marvel, or excuse me, Captain Marvel, is also a recovering alcoholic.
That's right. I almost forgot about that.
Tony is our sponsor
today.
Another trailer?
No, the first like full-length trailer for Captain Marvel dropped today.
It did look good. I like the blockbuster opening scene.
I do, yeah. Blockbuster in more ways than one.
Alex, why don't you give us one?
Well, since Obadiah Stane is off the table.
You can talk about him a little bit more in detail.
Oh, well, I'll talk about Obadiah Stane. I really like him. Because he tries to defeat Tony Stark rather than defeat Iron Man. It really brings out the anybody can be a superhero kind of vibe for comics. I feel like it was very well translated into the movie. It did a great job forcing Tony Stark to face his flaws in order to defeat Obadiah Stane. And only as like a last-ditch effort did he don the Ironmonger armor to go toe-to-toe, so to speak, with Iron Man. And, that's why he was my number one pick. And I feel like I should have talked about him since LT mentioned something.
Well, at least it gave us a reason to drink.
It's true.
Yeah. I'm going to go with my next guys just because I don't want anyone to steal them because everyone knows how much I love The Wrecking Crew. I have a soft spot in my heart for Thunderball, Bulldozer, Piledriver, and of course, The Wrecker.
I'm sorry, are you talking about villains or sexual positions? I lost track right there.
Can it be both?
Can it be?
Can it be both? The Wrecking Crew.
Pretty sure Tom gets a little hard every time he talks about the Wrecking Crew.
I really do love the Wrecking Crew. Drink. Going to talk about the Wrecking Crew? That makes me happy.
No, I was just going to talk about you getting hard at the thought of the Wrecking Crew.
Really, truly, one of my favorite guys. He has an enchanted crowbar. His name is Dirk. What else isn't there cool about this guy? An enchanted magical crowbar that he can whack people in the face with. Bulldozer is a guy who can run at near super speeds into people. Yeah, that's a power. Thunderball has a giant ball that...
Just one, though.
That's about it.
Just tell me more about the giant ball, Tom.
What? It's also electric. Boogie, oogie, oogie, oogie. They have superhuman strength and durability thanks to a magical spell by Loki. The Wrecking Crew actually gets their power from the Wrecker. They were all sitting around drinking one night, much like some very brilliant writers. And the bar was hit by lightning, bestowing some of the power onto the rest of the crew. So, yeah, the Wrecker accidentally giving some of his power to his buddies, and they become the Wrecking Crew. They're a wrecking machine. Mikey, what do you got next?
So this is going to fall along the same lines as LT. I think Tony Stark's greatest foe is Tony Stark. If you guys read the 2014-2015 series, The Superior Iron Man, it was only 9 issues. After a battle where the Avengers fight the Red Skull, who has the brain of Charles Xavier and all his mutant powers, he makes all the Avengers lose all their moral compass. All the other Avengers recover quickly, but not Tony Stark. Tony Stark realizes, I like having no moral compass. I think I can get a lot of shit done, and so he does. He creates new armor, not using nanotechnology, but by using symbiote venom technology. Uses an app on a phone to infect people with symbiotes, symbiotic armor, which reshapes their bodies and makes them good looking. And he gives it to everyone in San Francisco for free for 30 days. And then after they're all used to being young and good looking, he's like, oh, I said it was a 30-day free trial. Now it's $99 a day. And San Francisco erupts into muggings and stuff because people just want to stay pretty. And it's also filled with a lot of debauchery because Tony Stark needs to get something. And he's getting a lot of it because all these chicks who weren't not very good looking in the past now are using the app and they're hot and they all want Tony Stark. He ends up being beaten by literally himself. He was afraid that someday he would lose his moral compass. So he created an artificial intelligence and then used Doctor Strange to help wipe his memory so he wouldn't remember having created the failsafe, because otherwise he would have defeated the failsafe. And it's just a really good storyline. It's not a lot of investment on your part, 9 issues. So check out The Superior Iron Man, where Tony Stark is his own worst enemy.
And I will. That brings us over to you, Josh.
I got a lot, but I'll say one of my favorites is he's more of a street-level guy, and he was sort of split between Spider-Man and Iron Man. And I really didn't like how they used him in the movie, but I love Black Lash. I just love a good athletic guy with a techno whip going around trying to kick ass. And really, he wasn't that good. I mean, ever. He was kind of like...
Everybody could drink because Whiplash was on my list also.
All right, thanks.
Also known as Backlash.
Blacklash.
Backlash.
No, Black.
Oh, we're talking about somebody different. Then are we?
Yeah. He's talking about Whiplash.
Yeah, Whiplash becomes Blacklash.
Oh, Blacklash?
No, I think it's Backlash.
No, it's Blacklash.
Okay.
It's BL, Blacklash. Big purple freaking thing on his head, cape, mask.
Oh, I know who you're talking about because he is the greatest supervillain from Cincinnati. Fun Alex fact.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so he is – I like when he becomes Blacklash. I like when he fights Spider-Man and Iron Man, and he's just really just super athletic dude with a whip that can electrocute people. He's fantastic. He's just one of those guys. He's just putting in the effort day after day. He's one of those guys who works hard. He works hard basically to get to the bottom of the pile of supervillain lists, but he still works hard and he gets there.
And fun Alex fact, so low level that Marvel Comics even – didn't even put him in the movie. They created Anton Vanko to take his place and then created another character in the comics with the movie guy's secret origin. So he's been totally replaced in comics. Gets no respect whatsoever.
None.
And we can't even figure out what his other name is. This guy, man.
He had it all.
He had it all and it just got lost it all.
Yeah, lost. And he gets beat every time. He's just one of those guys. He always comes back. That's why I love
him. He's always in there trying, he is.
That guy.
All right, Tommy, well, back over to you.
So I'm going to go with Madam Mask.
Oh, drink.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Crazy ex-girlfriends are a plentiful.
Because you should never piss off your ex-girlfriend, especially not if she's related to criminal organizations that span the globe.
How much are we talking about Mike's exes? Well, I thought we were still on the Iron Man topic here.
I mean, when aren't we talking about Mike's exes? Madam Mask, Tony dated her back in the late 70s, early 80s, and it was a pretty good relationship while it lasted, but, you know, eventually Tony Stark's a player, and he stopped. And, well, Madam Mask never seems to have forgotten. And several times she has tried to take Tony out. And jilted lovers are never a good thing.
What I love about this is she's so crazy psycho ex-girlfriend that at some points he beats her by convincing her that he still loves her. Like, she'll have him in a death trap and he'll be like, you know what, baby, I've been wrong. He'll just sweet talk her into stopping the death trap so he could get out of it. And then he's like, you know, but I really do prefer Pepper. Yeah, he's a dick about it, but he still beats her by tugging on her emotions. But she is a psycho, so let's not forget that.
A little bit. Just a
yeah,
little bit.
But she is a psycho. All right.
Have you had a chance to see Madam Mask in Iron Man Noir?
No, do tell.
Oh.
It was just a 4-issue miniseries. It was set back, as every noir is, and Tony Stark is on adventure to find some kind of miracle cure for his heart problem. And so he finds a jade mask at some ruins, and of course, Madam Mask throws it on, and there's explosives, some kind of explosive fungi, and it gets lit up, and she gets deformed with the jade mask on, and it's just a really cool one-shot, you know, variation on Madam Mask. And yeah, she thwarts his next mission to get into Atlantis to find, you know, Poseidon's trident to heal his heart. But yeah, it was a short little thing.
I love the Marvel noirs that they did. I really liked the Luke Cage noir, so I'll have that to check out the Iron Man noir.
I haven't read any of those.
Yeah, the X-Men noir is really good, too.
Yeah, my favorite was the Luke Cage one, but of course I have a bit of a soft spot for Luke Cage. I'm going to go with my next one, and that is the Mental Organism Designed for Aggressive Maneuvers. Did I get that right? Is that MODOK?
No.
Mental Organism Designed Only Almost. For Killing.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry,
now you got it.
Now you're talking.
Only for killing. Giant computery kind of looking thing with a tiny little body and a big ass chair. Who can't love MODOK? I can't believe no one's drinking with me on this one.
Oh, I did.
We already did.
We drank.
Oh, good.
Your Head video feed's behind. Yeah.
All right. Metal organism designed only for killing. A tragic bad guy, in as much as he's not only a failure, but if you look at the children's cartoon of the Saturday morning Marvel cartoon one, he's kind of the bumbling idiot of the group, which I think is he's ill-served. And MODOK had his moments where he came pretty close to winning it all on his own. I mean, he's designed only for killing, for God's sakes. He should be better at it.
You know, MODOK is actually a much better version than the original version, which was Mental Orchestra Maneuvers in the Dark.
Isn't that a Lionel Richie song?
As a band.
Oh, leave.
By the way,
thank you, LT. Thank you.
No problem.
MODOK usually has like a little bit of hair on the top of his head. Like, I'm looking at, like, 9 different things. So he has hair, and it's combed, but he has little itty-bitty arms.
Who combs the hair?
Who combs MODOK's hair?
That would be the beehive keepers from AIM.
Ooh, there you go.
And you know, while they're doing it, the guy's like, I have a master's degree in electrical engineering, as he's combing MODOK's hair.
We're all in AIM. We all have master's degrees or better in something, buddy. They're like, there's like 20 of them like guarding a building, and they're like, you know, between us, we have like 1,000 degrees, right? We should be doing more here, guys.
Well, maybe MODOK just uses his, you know, superpowers with probabilities. If he puts his head on his pillow just like this, you know, it won't mess up his hair. So he only had a comb it once, and that's it.
Wow, you are thinking way outside the box on that one, and I applaud you, sir.
That's a deep cut for MODOK.
MODOK, and MODOK being vain also kind of blows my mind, but okay. Your giant fucking head with tiny little arms and tiny little legs.
He probably thinks that stock is about him.
Yeah. And that
MODOK is not made for dating. MODOK is made for killing.
And that man is now our 45th president, ladies and gentlemen.
MODOK.
All hail MODOK. Tiny little hands and all. Big head, funny looking haircut. Yep, I get it now. MODOK has won. Mike, who's your next one?
My next foe of Iron Man is Tony Stark's penis. And all let right. me tell you why, because he is a man whore. We know that he sleeps with superheroes. He slept with She-Hulk, good on him. Gamora, good for him. And Wasp, Janet Van Dyne. Way to go, Tony. We're all happy for you. But he also has a bad... and Emma Frost. I forgot Emma Frost. But he also has a bad track record of sleeping with spies, including Maria Hill, Spider-Woman, Black Widow, and he sleeps with supervillains, Madam Menace, Madam Mask, Justine Hammer, the daughter of Justin Hammer.
Yeah, but hold on a second. The same exact reason that I slept with the vice principal's daughter is the same reason that he slept with Justina Hammer. And that was just a rage dick.
He also has a habit of sleeping with his employees, and in addition to Pepper Potts, Bethany Cabe, Anna Wee, and Rumiko Fujiwaka. Now, yeah, not only did he bang Pepper Potts, but Pepper was married to his best friend. He's a horrible person, and his penis is even worse. That's all I'm saying.
Do you hear that, Gavin Newsom? We don't forgive it when you fuck your best friend's wife. Are you listening?
He probably isn't. Then.
He's not. Someone get this over to Gavin Newsom. That tell him this is why he shouldn't run.
And it kind of did kind of do him in because he did get shot because of it.
He probably needed a lot of shots after that.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't that the reason why he got shot and his nervous system got all messed up and he had to go to the technology-based interface nervous system back in the mid to late 80s?
We just call that a clinic, LT.
Yeah.
That's where he ended up, I mean.
Which later became extremis.
Yes.
You are correct.
Yeah. He has so many venereal disease, some of those are actually infecting computers now. Right. That's how bad he's is.
That's not a word.
Wow, 5 cores light gets you kind of slurry.
No, it doesn't.
No wonder rednecks. No wonder rednecks love it. But Alex, facts. It's your turn, Alex. Go.
So I've always had a soft spot for the controller. I just like.
Tell us more about this, Alex.
I like them.
Let's go back to your childhood.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. The Invincible Iron Man, of course, specifically number 91, where he starts using those power discs on to gain the strength of 20 men. But yeah, I really like that power set where he uses those discs to power his armor. And he really tries to beat Iron Man at his own game, which is just, you know, knock down, drag out, fight, throwing punches and throwing kicks. the like. But yeah, for some reason, I like the controller.
Nah.
You don't have to explain yourself. I mean, the controller was kind of a cool character, and I liked him a lot too. Josh, who you got next?
He looked kind of like a poor man Thanos, though, didn't he?
He did. He did.
Depending on which drawing, I mean, and Thanos did help him out, you know, later on.
Yeah, like he's like he's not pretty enough to be Thanos, but you know he's in the ballpark.
For $99 like a day, he could have looked exactly like Thanos.
Yeah,
it looks like he's wearing one of Thanos' old suits.
Oh yeah,
it doesn't quite fit. Yeah.
Go Google controller Marvel Comics and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Can I try one of your suits? You go ahead, little controller.
You go.
Oh, look at the controller. Trying on my suit.
I'm going to go for my next guy mostly for the trivia question. So I'm going to go for Super Adaptoid.
Yeah.
But the real question is, the trivia question of the day is, who came first, Amazo or Super Adaptoid?
Amazo.
Yeah, Amazo goes way back. I'm going to say Amazo.
I'm guessing. I said it with confidence.
You didn't say it with confidence. Yeah, Amazo was like 61 and Adaptoid was like 66. But it was close. So yeah, I do like Super Adaptoid. I always like the idea that, and for some reason, there are always androids that can adapt to everybody's powers. And if you can make an android that can do that, I figure, and you can make an android that can do anything. It seems androids should like dominate Marvel and DC all the time. Between Adaptoid and Amazo, those guys should just be rolling in it. Like they should just be killing everyone.
And let's not forget the Amazing Andy.
Yeah.
What about Sentinels? They did pretty good.
And you'd think Tony Stark, with all his technical genius, would have just made himself a girlfriend.
He may have. He did sleep with Maria Hill, but who knows if that was actually Maria Hill or a life model decoy. Which are all over Marvel. Sure. All over Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
It's true. He did make the life model decoys. And maybe that's why he made the life model decoys.
Obviously, that's why he made the life model decoys.
The life model decoys. All the
we can all agree that if there was a Tony Stark life model decoy, Tony Stark would have sex with that life model decoy, right?
We all agree this has already happened, right?
Yeah. All right. All right. Okay. Marvel, go ahead and write that comic book.
And we'll be okay with it. Also, don't forget self-sanitizing.
I want to go with my next one because nobody has said it yet, and I am shocked. Fin Fang Foom.
What? Drink.
All right.
Wait, really? Fin Fang Foom?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's not just some Chinese legend. He's an alien from outer space.
First appearing in Strange Tales number 89 back in 1961, created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. He fought Iron Man a lot. You got to remember when Iron Man first came out, it was in the 1960s, so it was during the Vietnam conflict. And there was a lot of anti-communism, right? So he's got a whole bunch of villains that are Soviet-based, and he's also got a lot of Chinese-based villains. And this giant dragon was one of his main adversaries. And the reason I like Fin Fang Foom the most out of all of his Chinese adversaries is because eventually this ancient dragon from another planet becomes Buddhist. And he joins three other monsters from the Strange Tales mythos, Electro, Gorgia, and Gogom, and they form the Fin Fang Four. And they all get turned into humans and live in the Baxter Building. And Fin Fang Foom is the head chef at a Chinese restaurant in the Baxter Building, which I just think is awesome. So if you guys get a chance to read the Fin Fang Four, I highly recommend it. Everybody go ahead and drink.
Drink.
All right.
I can't believe that no one mentioned my next guy. And one of my favorites, I always enjoyed it. This is going way back, the Crimson Dynamo.
Drink.
Drink.
Thank you. For God's sakes, the Crimson Dynamo. I mean, those stories never got more black and white than when Iron Man was facing off against the Crimson Dynamo, United States Industrial Military Complex versus Russian Military Complex. It just showed how the Cold War was always on our minds. We were always thinking about, us versus them. There was no good. There was, just good guys and bad guys back then. And the Soviets were definitely bad guys, unless they were super hot, like the Black Widow, who could, eventually come over and be okay.
Who could be turned. If you're hot, you could be turned.
If you're hot, you can be turned. Yeah.
If you're not hot, you can't be turned. You can only be defeated.
Right.
Like the Crimson Dynamo or the Titanium Man.
Or Omega Red. No one tried to turn Omega Red.
But Titanium Man's one of Iron Man's villains.
Is that one of your picks?
It's one of my picks.
Yeah.
Are you trying for a segue and just failing, dude?
Yeah, I am.
Just
keep on talking. You had it. Just keep on talking, man. Just
don't, man, all the
don't wait for
Russian
our approval.
Iron Man.
Just segue. Really,
not quite as popular as Crimson Dynamo, but also in the same vein as Crimson Dynamo, another armored Soviet soldier came out around the same time, once again trying to take down Iron Man, the symbol of the U.S. industrial complex. And also in the same vein, a lesser, more horribly done Soviet, the Unicorn.
Oh, now, if you said the Unicorn, we better drink, because I love the Unicorn.
Drink. Well, don't, I'm drinking for you. I saw the Unicorn on the list, and I immediately went on.
Okay, I love the Unicorn, not because of any Iron Man story, because the Unicorn is ridiculous. He has a laser beam on the top of his head, which is impossible to aim because he has to look down in order to shoot somebody, which is why he sucks.
Not impossible, just very difficult.
Very difficult, true. But if you read The Winter Soldier, and when Bucky gets thrown into a Russian prisoner camp, nobody wants to fuck with the Unicorn. He is just the baddest guy in this old Russian gulag, and he is awesome in it.
Maybe,
but the Unicorn's horn also should have had a warning on it that said, "Danger may cause brain cancer."
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So he aims with his heart instead of his head.
Yeah.
Well, now you made it a touching story.
Or he just needs a cell phone, and he just kind of does the head down thing, The Unicorn selfie laser beam aiming method is clearly the way to go.
That's the way I would do it.
Yeah.
I think we had time for about one, maybe two more each, or maybe one more each, and a couple of honorable mentions. Mikey, what are you going to pick as your last?
Well, I'm going to go with a guy who's typically considered a Spider-Man villain, just like Josh had.
Oh, I got it. I know.
You guys know? Oh, maybe. Go ahead. Who do you think, Tom?
Does it start with a boom and end with an orang?
No, it does not.
Oh.
Does it start with a K and end with a shrike?
Does not.
Uh-oh. Does it start with a stilt and end with a man?
It does not, and that would be more Daredevil than Spider-Man. I am talking about Norman Osborn. Huh. So after the events of Civil War, Tony Stark becomes the director of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then Brian Michael Bendis does the Secret Invasion mega story angle, and Tony gets kicked out as the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. Osborn gets put in charge, but they rename S.H.I.E.L.D. Hammer, and he steals Tony Stark's tech and makes himself the Iron Patriot and proceeds to wreak havoc on all of the superheroes. But the best part is he beats the shit out of Tony Stark because Tony feels really bad. One, because of Civil War. Two, because he didn't realize that the Skrulls had been using the Civil War in order to infiltrate the humans, and they almost took over the planet on his watch. And also because Norman Osborn is a crazy mofo badass. So he ends up founding the Dark Avengers and creating duplicates, him being the version of Iron Man in the Iron Patriot outfit. It's just a great storyline. You can check out Dark Reign if you're going to read any of those storylines with Norman Osborn tormenting the shit out of Tony Stark. What do you got, Alex?
For my last one, I'd like Sinclair Abbott as Spy Master.
Oh, nice one.
I like the misdirection and subterfuge he uses, using Ghost as his Ponzi scheme. But anyway, he was a pansy hiding behind Ghost.
Patsy.
And Patsy, there you go.
He's a pansy. Well, a little from column A, a little from column B.
He's not a Ponzi. Ghost is not investing in Spy Master's organization. Well, he could be. I don't know.
Could be. Yeah, I don't know. The returns are great.
Ghost is out there selling Amway for Spy Master.
But he's another one that attacks Tony Stark in addition to attacking Iron Man. And it's always a good selling point for me when it comes to foes. Attack the alter ego and attack the hero himself. And he also tempts Iron Man with alcohol. We all know that. Yeah, which is his number one foe mentioned on this podcast. So.
Ooh.
It's true. And the listeners, you got to remember, despite what you saw in the Iron Man movie where he reveals who he is at the end of the movie, Tony Stark hid his identity as Iron Man for a long time in comic books. So the fact that people were going after Tony Stark and came into conflict with Iron Man was explained away by Tony Stark saying, yeah, I created the armor and that's my bodyguard. And so that's why there were a lot of crossovers where villains not only attacked Tony Stark, but they also attacked Iron Man.
And a lot of people wore the armor around Tony Stark at different times and kind of covered for him. Happy Hogan wore the armor a few times. Rhodey wore the armor a bunch of times and then took over as Iron Man. So there were a lot of people that kind of took over for Iron Man temporarily that kind of took on the mantle and kind of supported the whole Iron Man's my bodyguard type storyline.
Well,
So there's two. I'm gonna throw two straight out there that nobody mentioned, and clearly they're giant, right? So Kang and Mandarin haven't even been brought up.
Mandarin drink.
Yeah, It was so obvious. I didn't even put him on my list. I'm like, somebody else is gonna pick Mandarin.
I mean, both those guys, I just assumed were gonna come up right away, so I didn't really consider them all that much. Two huge. And like you said, Mike, the early sort of Vietnam era foes coming up, and Mandarin with the Asian motif, and Kang carries the banner of my most hated power in the universe, which is time travel. So I hate Kang with the fire of a thousand suns. But other than that, they're just two big villains that are just integral to Iron Man's mythos.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to mention him also. I did also like the way he's handled in the movie, mostly at the end, the mini Hail to the King, where you find out that the Mandarin is someone else, actually, and he's looking for revenge.
Dun, dun, dun.
And in the comics, Mandarin is a real badass. He's got these 10 magical rings that each one does a different power. And
I'm not sure if they're magical. He got them from an alien spaceship.
Aliens derived from the same race as Fing Fang Foom.
Ooh, fun Alex fact. Wow. I don't think we've ever had more Alex facts ever than in this particular.
I'm just lapping it up. I'm enjoying all of them.
All right. That does it for me. Do anyone want to throw out a couple of...
The only one I had was the Killer Shrike, and only because him and Blacklash basically wore the same costume. I don't know what was up with the top knot, the symbol, the mask, the cape, and then Killer Shrike just had the blades on his wrists. But I just love the outfit. I love the outfit on both of them.
I also kind of like the Brothers Grimm, who later became part of I think it's called the Night Shift. They were just kind of weird toss-away supervillains who used kind of silly magic tricks and mythology to scare, befuddle, and kind of hold off superheroes. But they were worth kind of a quick look at because they were cool. And the Rhino, I liked the when they would fight because the Rhino was cool. I liked the Rhino.
So I always viewed Hydra as kind of Captain America's group that he always came up against. And I always viewed AIM as Iron Man's group of supervillains that he always came up against. So I'm going to go with AIM. Even though we talked about it a little bit before, I'm going to say AIM is Iron Man's group of baddies that he typically goes up against.
What does the AIM stand for?
Advanced Idea Mechanics.
Look at you with a big brain.
Check out the big brain on Brad. I mean, yeah, we talked about MODOK and Super Adaptoid, and then there's everybody else that was in there. But I mean, of the rest of AIM, of course, Taskmaster's awesome. But carry on.
Yeah. My wayward son.
I would also hazard Captain America as one of Tony Stark's greatest foes. I'm going to throw him in as an honorable mention just because of the whole Civil War storyline.
True.
I could say Captain Marvel because of the Civil War II storyline, but no one should read Civil War II. It is a piece of shit. Don't do it. Save yourself a lot of agony. Don't do it. Alex, did you read Civil War II?
No.
Good. Good. Good for you.
I'll read it if you give it to me.
No. I will not do that to you, sir. I have too much respect for you. Too much respect.
This might actually slow your dodgeball abilities down somehow, some way. I don't know how, but I know it might.
Yeah, somehow. Let's talk about the dodgeball team that the Longbox guys sponsor, Cat 5. You guys, in 2 years in a row, have made the national championships for dodgeball, right?
Yeah, it's kind of don't flatter us too much, but it's kind of an open invitation. But we
it's
do go to
a big
qualifier.
Deal. You're a big deal.
Category 5 did place 25th this year out of 44 teams, so we're climbing the ladder steadily. It was a lot of fun. It happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota this year instead of Boston like last year.
Tom, would you quit grunting while he talks?
Yeah, are you already jerking it into the mic? Like, let's just...
It's that voice. I don't know what's going on. It's that voice.
Holy moly. You have had a bulldog too long.
Maybe I have.
Dodge my balls to your face.
Yeah, you can... if you want to watch some footage of dodgeball being played, you can look up Elite Dodgeball Nationals. I think they have the live stream with 4 different courts being shown. I'm not sure if they've actually nailed it down to individual games yet, but there's a lot of dodgeball being played. It was 3 days, almost 12-hour days. It was a lot of dodgeball being played.
How have you guys not made it to ESPN 8?
I don't know.
The Ocho.
So it's funny you mention that. ESPN did a ESPN 8 kind of spinoff for like a day, and they had the Sky Zone Ultimate Dodgeball Competition, the UDC tournament on there, which is a pretty big deal because it's, like, I think, a $50,000 prize pool. So they have a lot of good players go out there and play on the trampolines. And it makes for, I guess, more theatrical plays. So it's watchable.
UDC stands for Ultimate Dodgeball Championship?
Championship.
Championship? Yep. That is amazing because that is the name of my company, UDC.
Ooh, I think you're going to have a good lawsuit.
How long has that been around? I don't know.
Since we became an LLC in 2011.
I think they might have you beat by a year.
Those sons of bitches.
Sons of bitches.
Anyone have anything left? You should claim a game of dodgeball for the name.
Yeah.
Wait, why do we have to go to your sport?
Yeah.
You guys should have to hook up a cloud server in under 2 seconds.
Well, that's what happened. We'll just have Josh on the trampolines setting up his cloud server while on the other half.
Or throwing balls out.
Dodge it. Yeah.
Does anyone have any last words or until we go to our next section? No? Well, thank you for all that input about the incredible foes of Iron Man. But now let's go and see what we have at the front of the long box. Mikey, what do you got at the front of the long box?
So at the front of the long box, this is going to play into last week's podcast. I have the Sandman Universe. I told you that they were starting a new line of Vertigo featuring specifically the Sandman Universe. There are four comics that are part of it. It is The Dreaming, which is excellent. There are The House of Whispers, which is a take on the House of Secrets, House of Mystery from the 1970s, except it features voodoo characters who, and it's set in New Orleans. So that's also pretty cool. They are going to relaunch the Books of Magic with Tim Hunter in it. If you are a Harry Potter fan, go read the Books of Magic. This predates Harry Potter by a long time and is probably, I would say, superior. And the fourth series, I can't remember exactly which is what it's going to be, so don't worry about it. But yes, if you get a chance, if you do like The Sandman, the original series, I suggest you check out The Dreaming. If you're a fan of the Books of Magic, go check that out. And if you like the old House of Secrets, House of Mystery, go check out The House of Whispers, especially if you're into voodoo mythology.
And who isn't? Tommy, where you got the old back of the long box?
In the back of the long box, I've got Hadrian's Wall by Kyle Higgins, Alex Siegel, and Rod Rise, put out by Image Comics. This is a great mystery story set in space. It's very interesting. The main character is a ex-cop who is hired to go out to a spaceship to investigate the decompression death of a person who was his ex-boss, who married his ex-wife, and who shot him four times. It was supposed to be a rubber stamp operation where he was just supposed to rubber stamp the investigation, and he got out there and he did not rubber stamp it. And it was a good storyline. It was a really good, police procedural, sci-fi police procedural. I highly recommend it.
Yep.
Ooh, right. Drink.
Oh.
Fun Alex fact, that fourth series I couldn't remember is Lucifer. So if you're a fan of that TV show, the comic book is coming back. I also did want to mention one other Vertigo series, which I know, LT, you're going to be looking forward to. You should definitely.
Is it Death?
No, it is called Second Coming. And oh. It is what if Superman and Jesus were roommates?
Sweet.
Yeah.
It's kind of an odd couple vibe going on.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that was a bit of a tangent. Tangents are your milieu, Josh. Do you have a tangent for us?
No.
Oh.
For the sake of the podcast and our listeners, we have gone the distance, so I am skipping my segment.
Well, and I too shall give a nod to brevity and just say, Alex, you have any last words for us there, buddy?
Kind of like LT, I'm at a loss for words for for the exit. But thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it. Does it make me exempt to listening to this podcast if I'm on it?
No, we listen to it.
Yeah, you
still have to come on it.
So Alex is one of our Patreon subscribers. He's part of the Long Box Legion. If you would like to join the Long Box Legion, you get access to our GOAT, the Greatest of All Time podcast that we do once a week. You can subscribe over at www.patreon.com/thelongboxguys. And for just $1 a month, you help support us to do our RSS feed and our website. We really appreciate everybody who's out there donating.
And fun out really fact, do. The slash is actually a forward slash. If you look at it from left to right, whichever way it's leaning, that's where you say back or forward.
Wow. Solved. Mystery solved.
Boom.
All right.
Now you know, Tom. And knowing is half the battle. Too bad you're so drunk you're not going to remember it next week.
I'll tell you.
Is the other half.
What? And that about does it. Let's get some plugs. I'd like to plug our very cool dodgeball team, Cat 5.
I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music every week. You can check him out at kirbycracklemusic.com or you can go to Bandcamp and download their latest album. Also like to thank our fellow podcasters out there, like the NOLA Nerd Couple, Who's Next Gaming, and the Nerds Who Get Laid Sometimes.
Oh, let's not forget Sammy Savage's crew over there. They're doing a great. They're doing great.
That's why I said Who's Next Gaming.
Yeah.
Fine.
I'd like to thank Friendly Neighborhood Comic Books in Bellingham, Massachusetts. That place is clean. And I'd also like to mention there's a slim chance we'll be at New York Comic Con. We're alternates for a panel. And after that, don't forget Pensacola, Florida, Pentacon, February 22nd. We're going to have a bevy of events going on there. I'm going to keep plugging it until the day we're there. So I know it's straight out there in February, and it seems like it, but make your travel plans. Get to Pensacola, Florida. It's our home con, and we love it.
And
it is one of our favorite cons of all times, and we got some fun stuff cooking up. Nothing we can announce yet, but we got something cooking.
And don't forget to head over to geekorthodox.com for all of your T-shirt, stained glass prints, and other geeky things that you need.
Geekorthodox.com.
Oh, that voice.
Say it one more time, Alex.
Geekorthodox.com.
Oh,
yeah, that's the way
it goes. I'd like to spread that out. Toast. Alex, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Sure. If you're in the New Orleans area, you can always sign up to play dodgeball at neworleansdodgeball.com.
Yeah, I'm in New Orleans all the time. Yeah. I'll play a little.
Oh, yeah. We should also plug the WizardCon in New Orleans coming up in January. We will probably be doing some panels there, and we may have a fan table there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fancy.
We had a lot of fun that last time, and it's always a good time.
And we should probably also plug Victor Dandridge, Vantage In-House Productions, You Create Comics.
That's right, the hardest working man in comic books.
Welcome back to comic books, Victor.
Welcome back.
It's been so long since you've been around.
Actually, if you want to go to Kickstarter, Victor is starting a comic book Kickstarter project. So go to Kickstarter.com and check out, or just do a search for Victor Dandridge or Vantage In-House Productions.
Yeah, help that guy out. He works hard.
Tell him a couple bucks. He's awesome.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Get in there.
What's wrong with you?
Why are you still listening to this?
Go out there and help someone.
Get out there. Help anyone.
Just get out there. Yeah. And that does do it for us tonight. Thanks so much, Alex, for not only for joining us, but also for encouraging our stupid behavior by being one of our sponsors. We do appreciate it. We'll absolutely keep sponsoring your team. Let us know when you need new uniforms. Best part about buying you guys new uniforms is we usually get one too.
That's right.
We feel cool and sexy. Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And Josh, we got an awful lot of cons coming up. Any of those your sector?
No, my sector this week was UMass Memorial Hospital, where my sister is breathing on her own.
Yay! Long story short,
Bragger.
Her dentist sucks.
I'm just saying, my sister's been breathing on her own for years.
We used to dream of having sisters who could breathe on their own.
So, I'll tell you a story about your sister off the air.
Whoa. Off the air, dude. Whoa.
It's never off the air for the FBI.
Yeah.
Great breath control in a hot tub with a snorkel on. Always say, LT, you got any words of wisdom for us?
This podcast may not be the podcast you desire, but it is definitely the podcast you deserve. Alex?
And Alex, if you can dodge a dick, can you dodge a ball?
I can dodge all those movie references all day.
Well said. Well dodged, good friend. Well dodged. And don't forget what I always say, even if I don't follow my own advice. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You'll live longer. Thanks for all of us here at the Long Box Guys.
This podcast brought to you by Skrull Milk. Taste the green.